The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kitzer Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Rafael Schneider.
We're up to Simin Kuf Yud Aleph, 111, Sif Yud Aleph. Paragraph number 11. Last we spoke was about the bittul, the nullification of one's chametz that a person makes at night after doing bedikas chametz, after searching for chametz. Now we're going to continue on to the daytime activities. The biur chametz, the physical destruction of the chametz, and the bittul, the recitation of one's convictions, the speaking out what one thinks about the chametz that he has in his possession, that he considers it null, ownerless, and like the dust of the earth. Yud Aleph. Afal pi shebitol ta chametz v'layla, even though a person already annulled the chametz in his reshus, in his possession, at night, la'achar bedika, after doing the bedik, after doing the search, mikol makayim, nonetheless, gam b'yayim la'achash ha'saraf ha'isai, also during the day, after he burnt the chametz, yachazar v'yidvat lenu. He should go back, and he should do another bittul, another revelation of the conviction, what he's thinking in his heart, that the chametz is worthless to him. One has to make sure to do this bittul before the beginning of the sixth hour. Because then the chametz doesn't belong to you anymore. And you can't rid yourself of chametz that you don't have within your possession. The Ramah says in Simen Taf Lamed Daled, in chapter 434 in Shulchan Aruch, that a person should be careful that he says the bittul only after his chametz is already burnt. Because if he says the bittul before his chametz gets burnt, then he was never fulfilled the mitzvah of burning chametz, because it's not his. At the time that the chametz gets burnt, the chametz didn't belong to him anymore. And he was not mekayim the mitzvah of biur chametz, of destroying one's chametz, by burning. So it's preferable, even when one throws one chametz into a fire, that one should wait a little bit till the chametz is considered charred and inedible, and then one can say the bittul. Why do you have to do this bittul? We already did the bittul at night. Just say the entire bittul, the entire text that one says in the day, say it at night. The answer is because perhaps a person bought chametz between the time he did the bittul at night and the next morning, and he might have extra chametz in his possession. Also, a person normally is over chametz. A person normally eats maybe later on that night or during the morning, and therefore that chametz never became batal. So therefore, we don't tell a person, get rid of all your chametz at night. We know a person has certain food needs that he has to take care of between now and the next afternoon, between now and the beginning of the sixth hour. So we want to leave him the opportunity to eat this meal, let's say, later on at night, or breakfast the next morning, to be able to eat chametz. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So then, let's ask the question the other way. Just say the bittul during the day. And don't say the bittul at night at all. And that, the Achreinim answer, that the Rabbanim answer, is that we're worried that a person might perhaps forget to do the bittul during the day. He has so many things he's taking care of during the day. So we want to take care of things. We want to be extra cautious. We do the bittul at night. And to take care of what he might have had between those two periods of time, between the night and the next late morning, we do a second bittul. Continues the Kitzer. V'yichlal kol ha-chametz. And he should include all the chametz that he has this time. V'yayimar, we're going to say over the text that's found in most Siddurim and Machzairim and in many Haggadahs. I'll say it in a minute. Kol chamiro, and so on and so forth. Oy, v'loshen shumevin, or like we mentioned earlier, any language that he understands. And now I'm going to read the text that's found by in most Siddurim, in most Machzairim. Kol chamira v'chamia, any chametz or leaven, de'ikah b'shusi, that's in my possession, de'chazite u'deloy chazite, whether I thought, I have seen it, or I did not see it. De'chamite u'deloy chamite. That also means a text of seeing it or not seeing it. The first one, I believe, perhaps means whether I recognize it, that's chazite, and chamite means whether I've seen it or not. Deviate or deleviate, whether I've removed it, I've gotten rid of it, or I haven't physically gotten rid of it. Libotel, it should be considered annulled. Lehevi, hefker and afadara, and it should become ownerless like the dust of the earth. Continues the Kitzer, good vase, number 12. Chedesh et tzarech b'dikas chametz, a room that needs b'dikas chametz, and one wants to make it a storage house, a storage room. And it's going to be unavailable to search the night of the 14th. Perish. He wants to store in this room fruits, different foods, or etzim, or wood, or other kinds of matters. And because of this, he will not be able to check it when the night of the 14th comes, because it will be piled high with different materials. Tzarech livday tchila as a chametz shom belayla. K'may shabaydin as a chametz leil yadalet. A person, when he has in mind to turn this room into a storage room, before he does this, before he begins storing his materials there, he has to check the room first for any chametz that night. Just like you check for chametz the night of the 14th. He should use a candle and he should check, but he doesn't make a bracha. V'afilu yesh oid zman rav ala Pesach. Even if there's a long time period till Pesach comes. V'afilu miyad la'achar Pesach shavar. Even immediately after the last Pesach. He cleaned up after Pesach, he put away all his dishes, and he says, you know what? I want to make this room into a storage room. Right away, he has to do a new bedikas chametz. He has to check the room now for chametz again before he undertakes to turn this room into a storage room. Uvidi eved, and if it happened, meaning it wasn't the most preferable situation, but he didn't check. A person didn't check the room. And he turns it into a storage room. So now what? Does he have to go ahead and take everything out again? Or do we say, no, we'll leave things as they are? If he has in mind that he's going to store it, but then he'll remove everything from the room prior to the time of Dikas Chametz, he plans on keeping things there for 6 months. But eventually he plans on removing everything from the room before the time for Dikas Chametz comes, before the 14th of Nisan. Einai tzarech lahatriach ata lefanoisoi levodchei. He doesn't have to go ahead and bother himself and work hard to clear the room now and to check it. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav and others bring down that you can only be lenient here if it's a real loss of money. Or it's a very big tircha. It's a very big bother. And that's really probably what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch also means. Since a person really would have to work very hard to undo all the stored materials, to take out all the stored materials that he has in the room. So therefore we say, we're lenient, we let him keep everything there, and we wait till the time that he will remove everything from the room. But if it's easy for him, then the Paiskim say he should go ahead, and he should clear the room, and he should do a bedika, and then put everything back. But if he has in mind to clear the room only during Pesach, he has to clear out the room right now, and to check it. Even though he's a great father and there's a loss of money, he still has to clear everything out, and then he can put everything back, and then he can wait till Pesach comes in the middle of Chol HaMoed. Perhaps in the middle of the intermediate days of Pesach, he plans on clearing out the room. So then he can clear out the room, and it's already been a checked room. But if it's before Pesach, and he has a certain amount of time till the night of Yudala, the night of the 14th, then unless it's easy for him, he doesn't have to check the room right now. If it's easy for him, he should check. But if he plans on opening it up only, he plans on clearing it out during Pesach, the coming Pesach, then right away he has to take everything out right now and check, and then he can put everything back, even if it's very strenuous on him and it's a loss of money. Continues the Kitzer, Yud Gimel, 13. He makes the storage room thinking that he won't clear it out till after Pesach already passes. Azai, then yesh chilek bizman. Then it matters when a person decided to make the room into a storage room. Im hu kaidim shleishim yom shlefnei Pesach. If he decides to do this before 30 days before Pesach begins, so then einai sarich levadkei. He doesn't need to check. Since it's 30 days before Pesach, it's sort of like he's not really involved right now in the laws of Pesach, and that which is incumbent upon a person to check his rooms sort of hasn't come on in yet. It sort of has not fallen on his shoulders yet. So we say to him, if you're going to leave it till after Pesach, so we could sort of, this room is like, when with regards to the laws of Pesach and checking a room, it's sort of like it's not your room. You don't have to check such a room because you're never going to be involved with it during Pesach because it's already completely, any chametz there is probably completely covered over. And you're not going to clear it out till after Pesach. So what are we worried about? So ready was before 30 days before Pesach. We don't require you to do any checking. So the in parentheses, it says in the Kitzer, Elim Shiyesham Chametz Yadua Yevara Tchila. If there's chametz that's for sure there, then a person has to get rid of the chametz first. And that's a question. There's some who are strict when it comes to this, and there's some who are lenient. When there's chametz that's not for sure chametz in the room, everybody agrees if it's before 30 days, you don't do anything. But if there's for sure chametz in the room, and now you're going to pile on tons of other materials that you won't be involved and you're never going to get to them, and it's like they're buried for the duration of Pesach. So then some say, like the Kitzer, that one still has to get rid of it, and some say not, that even if there's Rishor Chometz there, you could still be lenient. Continues the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, V'yayol loy habitl, and since you're not checking this room, the bitl, the announcement and the conviction of one's heart that the chametz is null and void, does not count for you, is like dust of the earth, that will help. Sheyevatel kol chametz v'zmanai. The bittel that one will say, that one will make null all the chametz that he has in the proper time, that will help. And one does not have to take any preliminary action to clear the room, or to even say a bittel ahead of time. But if it's within 30 days before Pesach, and now the laws of Pesach have sort of fallen on your shoulders, it's 30 days. You have to learn the laws of Pesach. You have to be thinking about it. Already became part of your requirements for the preparation of Pesach, that room. Now you plan on making it a storage room for the duration of Pesach. Chol alav chiya bedika. Now it's incumbent upon him to do a bedika, to do a checking, the obligation for checking. In parentheses, it's written, Kevan sheshoylim v'doshim b'hilchas Pesach, Kaidim la Pesach shleishim yoyim. Since we ask and we seek the laws of Pesach before Pesach 30 days, so it's already, we're sort of involved in the laws of Pesach. The rabbis already told us this is the time to start being busy with the different requirements of Pesach. One of them would be Bedika. Now you're going to close off the room. It's not going to be available anymore. Take care of it before you make it a storage room. V'tzarech levodka, one has to check the room. Afilu b'dieven, even if one already stored materials in the room. Im shachach v'leiv v'dalka, a person forgot and didn't check it. Tzarech lefanas l'ayza, one has to clear out the storage area. U'levodka, and to check it v'alayla at night. Takef, immediately achash nizkar, after he remembers. So a person by accident or on purpose put the materials in the room, and then somebody said to him, or he said to himself, "Ay, what have I done?" Right away that night, first of all, take everything out during the day, and that night do a bedika on the room, and then you can put everything back if it's within 30 days before Pesach when one made the storage. Now, what if one stored it ahead of time? One does not have to do such a thing if it's a big tircha, but within 30 days, one is required to empty the room and do a bedika, do a searching that night by candle. Yudalid. Im oisa oitzer babar mechitim. If someone makes a storage area in a pit out of wheat, she'ena mechumatzis, wheat kernels that have not yet leavened, they have not yet become chametz. V'achar kach machmas lachos habar, and later on, because of the wetness that's in this pit, nischamtu achitim shebekarkas habar, the wheat that's sitting on the ground of the bar became chametz, began to rise. V'shebekiraisav, or that's in the walls of the pit. Af al pi sha'atzarem b'soich shleishem yam, even though a person already stored them within the 30-day period that he already has the laws of Pesach upon him, he does not need to clear out the pit and to do a bedika on Bilel Yudalid on the night of the 14th. Ela dailoi b'bitl, it's enough, the bitl, the kol chamira that he will say, kevan shebishah sha'otzar, since at the time that he put storage materials in there, he stored up his food, his wheat kernels inside this pit, otzar beheter, he stored things that were not chametz. So then, he didn't do anything wrong. He made an eitzer true within 30 days, but he didn't violate any law from the rabbis. He stored materials that were not chametz. But they turned later on to chametz while they were there, he doesn't have to do, that's not his doing in a certain sense. He didn't bury his material, he didn't bury chametz. He buried non-chametz. Now, once it's buried, it became chametz? That's not like he's trying to bury chametz, that the rabbis put on him a requirement to take everything away. Since when he buried it, he buried what wasn't chametz, he's not required to go ahead and empty everything out. V'im yesh b'neim chitim chumatzais, if amongst what he put in originally were wheat that was chametz and wheat that wasn't chametz. Some of the wheat, though, was chametz. Some of the wheat had already began to rise. Some of the kernels had begun to sprout. Yesh b'zeh kamech lukei dinim. There's several different kinds of laws that apply over here. V'yaseh sheilas chacham. And the kitzur said, I'm not going to deal with it. One should ask a chacham, a talmud chacham, somebody who's well-versed in the laws. And since it's not something that's terribly pertinent today, we won't speak further about it. Test Vav, number 15. Lo yashlich gar'inei savua l'tayne gailim. One should not toss kernels of food, of produce, different kinds of grains into the chicken coop, into the chickens. But makim lach, in a place that's already wet, toishlei shem yam, again, like we mentioned, within 30 days, because it's already upon him, it's incumbent upon him to fulfill the laws of being careful for chametz. He has to make sure his areas begin to get clean, and he certainly can't make an area that will have chametz there. Shema yishkach milavarim. Maybe he'll forget to get rid of this chametz, and therefore a person should not put chametz in a place that he might stumble and accidentally not clear it away. The Ramah, Moshe Islis in the Shulchan Aruch, only writes that you should be careful on Pesach itself not to do this, or perhaps after Chatzos, after midday on the day before Pesach, because we're worried that these kernels will turn into chametz. But the Kitzer, Shulchan Aruch, and other Paiskim were more stringent, because they bring this same law that the Ramah quotes, but they quote the Maharil, who lived prior to the Ramah, that one has to be strict not just on Pesach itself, but even 30 days before, within the 30 days before Pesach, one has to be careful about this. Sounds like a very, very big stringency, particularly since the Ramah only writes on Pesach, but the Mishnah Berurah brings it like this, and one should be strict about such a law. There are those who write that a person should be even more strict. When you throw the kernels of grain in front of your chickens, they're probably going to eat it, almost all of them, if not all of them. Not only should you not throw the kernels in a place that's already wet, but let's say you throw it into a dry place, but you also give the chickens to drink, and perhaps the water will be mixed with the grains that are lying there. So one should first, within 30 days, you should first give the chickens to eat, sweep away all the leftover kernels, and then put the water there. So you're not even putting it in a wet place. You're just worried the chickens will mix the water with the grain, and therefore one has to be strict not even to put both down in the same area. Let's continue. Tes Zayin. Hayotze l'derech, one who goes out on a trip. Koidem lechtei, before he goes on the trip, before he goes, yaman a shliach, he should appoint a shliach, he should appoint an agent for himself. Sheyivdaik, who'll search for him in his house, v'yivatel chamtoi, and who also will declare his chametz to be batel, who will say the kol chamira from, like we mentioned before. Now, who are we talking about? Somebody goes on a trip. So the paiskim, those who interpret the law for us, they tell us we're talking about somebody who's either going on a very long trip, or maybe it's not such a long trip, but he'll be away, and he plans on coming back maybe right before Pesach. But there's a concern that he won't be there on the night of the 14th when it's a mitzvah to check for chametz, and therefore he should appoint an agent in his stead. The Mishnah Berurah brings in the name of the Magen Avram, who's found on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, that, like we mentioned earlier, if the Baal HaBos, if the owner of the house, is not going to participate in the checking at all, then the shliach, the agent, not only does the checking for him, but he also makes the bracha for him. The bracha of al bir chametz. Even though the Shulchan Aruch writes over here, and the Kitzer mentions it as well, that the agent makes the bittel, it's not so simple. In general, when a person makes something ownerless, he declares it in front of three people, he makes it hefker, but he has to say it himself. Over here, it's very, very difficult to understand how this bittel will work through another person, an agent, making a declaration for yourself. Whose convictions of the heart are they? The agent's? That doesn't do anything. It has to be your convictions. And usually, something that's within your heart, an agent can't express it for you. It has to be you who express it yourself. And therefore, there are those that are stringent and say, you may not allow an agent to say the bittul for you. So though the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is lenient and allows the agent to do it, if at all avoidable, one should avoid it. If one can't avoid it and one needs to have the bittul done through an agent, one may, because that is the opinion of many. However, if one could avoid running into the situation and therefore fulfill those who hold one shouldn't do this, that's most preferable. Continues the Kitzur. V'yayimar loy beferish, and he should say to him openly, Shumana Aisul Lishliach ala Bedik, and he should tell the agent he's appointing him to be an agent for the checking, V'gam ala Bittul, and he's also an agent for the Bittul, for the Kol Chamira. Now it's not enough, the Magen Avraham writes, for a person to just say, be my agent for the Bedikah. And of course, probably you want to do the Bittul also. Now he has to say, as the Kitzur says, he has to say openly, I want you to do the Bedikah, and I also want you to do the Bittul. Though there are some who say that it's enough just to say, do the Bedikah, the searching for me, and the Bittul, the Kol Chamira, is understood, the Kitzur seems to be strict and to say, one is required to appoint him openly on both. The Aruch HaShulchan has a question over here. Where do you ever have where an agent makes a declaration for you in such a way? Usually we say, Mili leimimsura l'shlichus. Words are not given over to an agent. And an agent should say my words for me? Usually we don't allow that, the Gemara says. I can appoint an agent to do an action for me, to marry a lady for me, to purchase something for me. But where do you find an agent for words? And the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the problem with mili leimimsur shlichus, that words are not given over to a shliach, to a messenger, an agent, that's only when he asks him to say something to another shliach. Reuven says to Shimon, appoint Levi. That's a problem. But when Reuven tells Shimon himself to say words, that's not a problem. And therefore, this case would be where Reuven is telling Shimon, say the words of Kol Chamira for me, and it's perfectly permissible. Continues the Kitzur, the Hashliach Yaimer B'Bittol, and when the Shliach says the Bittol, the annulment of the Chometz, he should say, Chametzo Shal Plaini. He should say, this other person's Chometz. He should say, Reuven's Chometz. When Shimon makes a declaration, he should say, Reuven's Chometz. Umikol Makayim, and nonetheless, Gam Hu Basher Hu Sham, the person himself, wherever he is, he's in a hotel in China, he should make the declaration himself as well as his agent. Be'erev Pesach v'Baiker, on the day before Pesach in the morning, Yevatel Chamutzah Shemeshusa. He should annul all the chametz that's in his possession. The Mishmar explains that since we're a little bit doubtful whether this bittul helps, this annulment of the agent helps, so we want to make sure that we fill all opinions. And therefore, the person should go back himself and declare the chametz to be null and not within his possession, because maybe an agent can't do it for you. So therefore, to make sure that it's this bittul, the Kol Chamira, is working, one should do this declaration himself as well. Yud Zayin, number 17. Matza chametz bebeisai b'chol hamoed. Somebody found chametz in his house on Chol Hamoed during the intermediate days of Pesach. Yetziyai b'yisrafai. He should take it out and he should burn it. Now just in our day and age where people sell their chametz to a Gentile, it becomes a little bit more complicated. Whose chametz are you burning? Are you burning the Gentiles' chametz or your chametz? And there's a dispute amongst the contemporary Paiskim, those who are the Rabbanim who we rely on to tell us what the halacha is, whether one is allowed to burn the chametz, because really that chametz belongs to a Gentile, and therefore you should just put it aside, put it into a room, and close it off, because it's not your chametz. Or no, he himself also would be happy that you should burn the chametz. Why? It's his chametz. No, but he only is happy he has a chametz because he knows he'll eventually sell it back to you after Pesach. And this chametz, he's not going to sell back to you after Pesach, so he doesn't care to have that chametz. He only cares to have the chametz that he'll sell back to you. And therefore, he doesn't mind that you would burn this chametz. One should ask a question to a competent Rav what one should do in such a situation. But we'll continue speaking as if the halacha would be to burn the chametz. V'im yesh bai kezayis, if there's an hour's worth of chametz, yivarech mitzchil al bir chametz, one should make the bracha al bir chametz. Avo al pachas mechazayis leivarech, but less than a kezayis, one should not make the bracha. Now, there are some people who say that one should make a bracha in this case. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes that there are others who hold that since you already said the bittul, the kol chamira, the annulment of one's chometz, and you're not going to transgress the aveira of bal yirah, bal yimotza, of having chometz in your possession because it's not yours anyway, you already made it like the dust of the earth, therefore one would not be required to say a bracha. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes that if the chametz was not chametz before Pesach, it only rose during Pesach, it only leavened during Pesach, so your bittul never covered that. And therefore, one should make a bracha in that situation. Im matzai b'yantif, if one found the chametz on yantif, ay b'shabbos chol hamoed, or on Shabbos, which falls during the intermediate days of Pesach, v'chein v'shabbos shechol be'er Pesach, and so too Shabbos that falls on Ere Pesach, to also l'taltalai, you're not allowed to move the chametz, v'shum davet muksa, it's considered muksa, means it's set aside from you, there's no purpose in this chametz, you can't eat it, you can't use it, and therefore one of the laws of Shabbos and Yom Tov is that anything that's unusable on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not allowed to move from place to place. Yichta olav kli ad maitzi yontif. One should turn over on it a vessel until after yontif. Ad maitzi Shabbos. Or until after Shabbos. Va'oz yisrafu. And then one should burn it. So even though the most preferable way to fulfill the mitzvah of bir chametz is through burning, the Rishonim say that one shouldn't burn this chametz, even though we are allowed to light fires, not a new fire, but we're allowed to move from fire from place to place and to burn something from a pre-existing fire on Yontif. But that's only if it's a need for the day itself, or it's a need for cooking, or even another kind of pleasure. But that you shouldn't have chametz in your reshus is not considered a need for the day. There are some who say that if you didn't do bittul, or the chametz became chametz on Pesach, one may burn it on Yontif. But that is not how most paskin, that is not how most come out l'halacha. Another issue, of course, is that on Pesach itself, or on Shabbos, or on Yontif, one is not allowed to move the chametz because there's a prohibition of muksa. Again, muksa is only from the rabbis, and burning perhaps could be something that's prohibited from the Torah. But nonetheless, neither one of these activities are allowed to be undertaken. One should cover the chametz, and that's the course of action that's prescribed. The Mishnah Berurah brings that some say that if one didn't do bittul, or it became chametz on Yontif, You're allowed to move the chametz, because that's only a prohibition from the rabbis. It's only a prohibition from the rabbanim. In order to mekayim, to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu, of destroying one's chametz, that's a mitzvah from the Torah. But the custom is to cover over with a kli. The custom is to turn over a kli on it, and that you won't engage the chametz over Pesach. Some permit to tell a Gentile to take the chametz, to throw it into the water, to throw it into a bathroom, to flush it down the toilet, that even though the Magen Avraham writes that it's not the best thing to do, but the letter of the law would allow it for sure, because to tell a non-Jew is only a prohibition from the Rabbanan, and the whole moving of chametz is only a prohibition from the Rabbanan. So it's two derabbanans. It's called the shvus to shvus. Two derabbanans. One is allowed to push aside for the sake of the mitzvah of getting rid of one's chametz. The last line says, last two lines, v'motzai b'yam machrainim. If one found it on the last day of the Pesach, sh'az v'motzai yontif par avra Pesach, that already, after yontif, already finished, after that yontif, Pesach has already passed. Einam avarech alav. So then once you engage the chametz after Pesach, for sure, even like the Kitzer, who says you make a bracha, even the Kitzer himself says in this situation one should not make a bracha. Because there's no real isser here in the chametz anymore, other than we're not allowed to eat the chametz, use the chametz, you know, because that's only a kenas, it's only a fine from the Rabbanan. But there's no isser atayra, or anything of that sort, after Pesach. Einay mevarech alav, one does not make a bracha on it, ala seifa of lay bracha, one should burn it without bracha, afilu yesh bei kezayis, even if there is a alav's worth of chametz there. With regard to a second day of yontif meaning the second day of Pesach, or the eighth day of Pesach, which are only Yom Tovim from the rabbis, only Yom Tovim from the Rabbanim, and therefore perhaps a person could be more lenient when it comes to burning the chametz. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, one could burn the chametz. It's a mitzvah, and it's only in Isser Rabbanim, not to burn something on the second day. However, many of the Paiskim write, the Shulchan Aruch writes to burn it, but other Paiskim write that one should treat it the same as a regular yontif. Just like on a regular first day yontif one does not, so too one should be strict on the second day as well. However, if one didn't do bittul, if one didn't declare the kol chamira, or it became chametz on yontif itself, so then the Paiskim write that one should take the chametz, carry it and flush it down the toilet or throw it out to the sea, where you're only being over, you're only transgressing in Issa Drabanan, since there's a mitzvah min ha-Torah, there's a mitzvah from the Torah to destroy the chametz, that takes preference over the prohibition of not engaging, not moving the chametz, and therefore that's the prescribed course of action. And that completes 111.